Take Radio Daily for halfway day. We're so close. It's just how it's happening. It's getting better and better all the time, they tell me. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all the various places that you do and the scoundrelous places that we're hanging about. Is a place scoundrelous? Because you attract scoundrels, does that make you scoundrelous? I'm not entirely sure. I'm stopped babbling. The folks bringing it to you today, the same man that has to do with me and these kind of conversations all the time, that there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
What is this? What's going on here? What are you people doing here?
I'm not even sure at this point. It's just kind of crazy. Me, I'm the guy that will try again and again, no matter how long it takes. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
What I did was wrong, but I'd do it again.
You're damn right I would. All over again. What happened on this fine, fantastical day, sir?
In 1791, African-American astronomer and mathematician Benjamin Banneker sends a copy of his first almanac to Thomas Jefferson to disprove Jefferson's belief that blacks were intellectually inferior to whites.
1839, Louis-Jacques Mandet Daguerre freely releases a manual for his daguerreotype photographic process, the first process to allow an image to be chemically fixed into a permanent picture before they just floated.
1887, Dmitri Ivanovich Mendeleev uses a balloon to ascend above cloud cover to an altitude of 11,500 feet in order to observe an eclipse in Russia.
1891, William Huggins first describes the astronomical application of spectrum.
The cable company?
That's what I'm thinking.
I didn't realize they'd been around that long. I just felt like I waited that long for their customer service. Am I? Why won't anybody come out? 1929, John Logie Baird transmits a commercially made film, The Bride, a monologue by the comedian George Robey from his studios in Long Acre, London.
1950, the tradition of Saturday morning television for children begins in the United States when ABC programming includes Acrobat Ranch and Animal Clinic.
1960, the Soviet Union launches the Sputnik 5 satellite into Earth orbit, carrying two dogs named Belka, squirrel, and Strelka, little arrow, along with a gray rabbit, 40 mice, two rats, flies, and a variety of plants who didn't rate high enough to be named. After a safe round trip into space, these creatures will become the first living organisms to return from space after a day in orbit.
Don't ask about the 27 people. The Yankee Atomic Electric Company's $57 million plant in rural Massachusetts on the Deerfield River on this same day becomes the first commercial atomic energy reactor and the third in the U.S. to achieve a self-sustaining nuclear reaction.
1964, SINGCOM 3, which becomes the first satellite placed into geostationary orbit, is launched on a Delta D rocket. It will be used to telecast the 1964 Summer Olympics in Tokyo to the United States. It will be the first television program to cross the Pacific Ocean.
2004, an article in the journal Nature reveals that five new satellites and a further candidate moon have been discovered orbiting the planet Neptune, bringing its total number to 13.
2005, the ESA/NASA SOHO spacecraft discovers its 1,000th comet, and that is a massive milestone for humans everywhere.
2008, the Advanced Cell Technology Company announces it has successfully created the first functional red blood cells grown in a lab, which makes you wonder what all the blood drives are still for then. Birthdays?
China Clugston, 45, illustrator of Bloodletting, Hopeless Savages, Strangetown, Legion of Superheroes, and the 31st Century.
Matthew Perry is 51 from Second Chances, which became Boys Will Be Boys, A Night in the Life of Jimmy Reardon, Sydney, Friends, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, The Odd Couple.
Kira Sedgwick, 55, born on the 4th of July, Phenomenon. Batman, Mystery of the Batwoman, Justice League, The New Frontier, The Closer, and of course, is Holt's nemesis, no doubt, because of her cloven hooves, on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Kevin Dillon is 55 from Heaven Help Us, the very good remake of The Blob, The Doors, Entourage, and Poseidon.
John Stamos, 57, jeez, he's still handsome, from Never Too Young to Die, You Again, Full House, Jake in Progress, ER, Scream Queens, You, and Was Fantastic and Grandfathered.
Adam Arkin is 64 from Full Moon High, Northern Exposure, Chicago Hope, Halloween, H2O, 20 Years Later, and of course was amazing in Lake Placid.
Peter Gallagher is 65 from The Player, Bob Roberts, Hudsucker Proxy, House on Haunted Hill, Mr. Deeds, A Bad Mom's Christmas, and also one of the world's leading eyebrow models.
Jonathan Frakes is 68 from Star Trek The Next Generation, Camp Nowhere, Gargoyles, Beyond Belief, Factor Fiction, The Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon.
He's also a fantastic director. He has directed episodes in some of your favorite TV shows as well. And of course, he directed Clockstoppers, I think, for Nickelodeon
That's
films.
That's very true.
We won't hold that against him, though. Gerald McRaney, 72, from Simon and Simon, The Neverending Story, Major Dad, Deadwood, Jericho, and the A-Team movie.
Jill St. John is 80 from The Lost World, Molly in Batman 66, Tiffany Case in Diamonds Are Forever, Brenda Starr in the 76 version, and Around the World in 80 Days, the 1989 miniseries.
Diana Muldaur is 82 from McCloud, the underappreciated Dr. Pulaski on Star Trek The Next Generation, L.A. Law, Dr. Leslie Tompkins on Batman The Animated Series.
Which means as far as the animated series and real life are concerned, she is Marina Baccarin. No longer with us, born this date in 1646, John Flamsteed made the first recorded observations of Uranus, although he mistakenly categorized it as a star.
It's working hard. It's really struggling to get its big break.
I think your honey is shiny.
1871, Orville Wright, American engineer and pilot, co-founded the Wright Company.
1906, Philo T. Farnsworth, American inventor, invented the fusor, not the television.
1921, Gene Roddenberry, who brought us, of course, Genesis 2, The Questor Tapes, Earth Final Conflict, Andromeda, and its Star Trek thing.
1942, Fred Thompson from No Way Out, Die Hard 2, Necessary Roughness, Cape Fear, Sinister, and Law and Order.
On CBS, we've got a new Big Brother, Trust Your Gear on Tough as Nails. CBS News 2020, America Decides, the Democratic Convention.
ABC's got a new United We Fall, a rerun of the Goldbergs, rerun of the Conners, rerun of American Housewives, but the Democratic National Convention will be on.
NBC has results show 2 on a new America's Got Talent, rerun of Ellen's Game of Games, then NBC News special, the 2020 Democratic Convention.
Fox has a rerun of MasterChef, followed by a rerun of MasterChef, and nothing else is going on in town.
CW, Clark, Octavia, Echo, and Raven struggle with a new adversary as New Day rises in Sanctum on a new The 100 and a new coroner.
Ooh, AMC has iRobot.
FX has Get Out.
Good time. FXX will be showing Blockers. I'm drawing the chicken now, but you can't see. It doesn't, it's audio.
Chicken,
it doesn't,
chicken block. Man, FXM has X-Men, Days of Future Past.
IFC will be showing Ghostbusters, followed by Ghostbusters 2, which goes to show you how good Ghostbusters was.
that goodwill carries that second movie for a little bit.
It really does.
BBC America has A Few Good Men. Damn, that's a good movie.
Paramount will be showing Dunkirk because that's already being shown like on TV now, which seems kind of weird, but there we are.
Siffy has The Bourne Identity.
TBS has a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
TNT has Bass Gate.
I keep wanting it to be basketball, but it never, is, Jim. Tonight, though, we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network as after enduring a family tragedy, a father and his teenage daughter invite a distant cousin to stay with them. But the woman develops a plan to claim the family and create a special prom that she was never able to experience. Yvonne Zima, God, the damn Zima, and Mark Lutz star in Killer Prom.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Madeline becomes a detective and the girls' valuables vanish from their dressing room. And that should be an easy case. I mean, not that many people should have access to that area. And that makes Madeline very concerned that this just might be a family affair. She will get the crook to show their true colors, though she bets it's probably just some mama's boy. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
You got mail, baby.
Indeed we do. However, I will tell you that once again, it is from Mark, who already knows where Chad and Abby are this week, but decides that he has to tell us how he broke down the clues and arrived at the answer again that he already knew was there.
We're not going to read that. That's going to give it away. And then other people are going to figure it out.
I know.
And you're just wanting to show off. Anyway.
Maybe you'll have to submit that with Patreon. Oh, Patreon. Hey, I owe you folks an email this weekend. So we'll make that happen. And if you got something to say, by all means, drop a note. Tell us how you deduced all the clues. It'll be interesting to see if your mind went a different way. All you got to do is drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can voicemail us or text us. All you need is the number
510-GRD crew.
I mean, I guess we could like Morse code it out in the outro and let people figure it out that way.
Oh, I know. I'll blink out the answer.
Comedy.
Drama.
Horror.
Sci-fi.
Killer mattresses.
Hurricanes.
Bears in noodle shops.
Unnecessary sequels.
Hasselhoff.
Man torpedoes.
Hear about all this and more on
Green Light, Red Light, where all of your Hollywood dreams come to die.
Only on the Everyone's Got a Thing podcast network. Everyone'sGotAThing.com.
Man torpedoes.
Hello there, boys and girls. This is Robert Llewellyn, the actor behind the mask of Crichton from the BBC television show Red Dwarf, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. You must be very, very clever.
Indeed you are. You figured out how to find a podcast that doesn't, you know, tell everybody in the world where they are. So good on you. You're detectives. That makes you awesome.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed. What's available at our shop, sir?
From Detective Comics, Justice League 51, Teen Titans 44, Wonder Woman Dead Earth 404, and Vic Sage is back in Hub City after experiencing a dizzying rush of all of his past lives. But he is too late to save his present home from the evil that so far has never failed to end his story in tragedy. If Hub City is going to live, does Vic Savage have to die? Question the deaths of Vic Sage. Number 4 of 4.
Marvel Conan Battle for the Serpent Crowns, 4 of 5. Star Wars Bounty Hunters reaches 4. Valkyrie Jane Foster and Natalie Portman's going to look amazing, number 10. And then almost 30 years after the landmark story Future Imperfect, legendary Incredible Hulk writer Peter David returns to the far future of the Hulk known as the Maestro, the master of what remains of the world, with astounding art from Hulk veteran Dale Keown and up-and-comer Germain Peralta. Maestro will answer questions that have haunted Hulk fans for years and inspire some new ones. How did the world fall, and how did Maestro rise? What happened to the world's heroes in between, and where's the Hulk we know and love in Maestro? 1 of 5.
From Aftershock Comics, we've got Artemis and Assassin, number 4. Dead Day, number 2. From Boom Studios, we've got Firefly, number 19. Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, 10 of 12. Once in Future 10, and after the shocking events of Power Rangers, Ranger Slayer, Kimberly is determined to purge the world of Drakkon's legacy, starting with Deadlock, the prison tower where Drakkon held all those who opposed him. But even the Ranger Slayer has no clue of the true power kept in Deadlock and what unlocking the doors will set in motion. As Kimberly investigates the worst of Drakkon's secrets, she sets in motion Drakkon's final plan, one that will pit her against a fan-favorite Power Rangers villain. In Power Rangers Drakkon New Dawn, number 1.
Over at Image, it's Decorum, number 4 of 8. Die, die, die! Number 12, Gideon Falls is at 24. And in IDW Publishing, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Too Long a Sacrifice, 2 of 4. Transformers versus the Terminator, 3 of 4. G.I. Joe 7. And Earth is gone. Only one intrepid crew of misfits managed to escape, now determined and ambiguously destined to stop a growing ancient evil from consuming the universe. Though stopping it may be tricky, as our heroes can't help but destroy just about every planet and species they come across. Which is kind of debatable. Who's the bigger threat? In Voyage to the Stars, 1 of 5.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Disney has been hard at work with the Star Wars brand for some time now, and you know, with The Mandalorian, they opened up a whole can of worms. What was mostly a film series is now a TV fan base craze, and they got countless rumors about the double suns of many different spin-offs that we'll be seeing in a galaxy far, far away.
I'm still waiting on Tag and Bink, Disney.
Damn right. A new confirming rumor says the rumor that we told you about before that Thrawn is coming to live action is absolutely true. But there's just no other further details about that. This new info also confirms that, you know, we told you it's true.
A great tactician creates plans. A good tactician recognizes the soundness of a plan presented on him. A fair tactician must see the plan succeed before offering approval.
So, of course, it's not a full confirmation. In reality, it's only a partial corroboration. And, you know, until Lucas and Disney really... It doesn't matter. We're told it's a done deal.
Never make the mistake of believing forbearance equates to acceptance, or that all positions are equally valid.
for now, it does seem like Ezra versus Thrawn, the show, is coming, which I kind of want to be like a galactic Smokey and the Bandit. And if it really is true that we have to wait for the Ahsoka series to air first, that's fine. It means we're years away, so it might be just a rumor still. I mean, no one can say where his plans will take... No one can say where his path will take him, even for the duration of a single day. More difficult still is to see where one's path will intersect that of another warrior. Eventually.
Snoot Entertainment, brought us Blindspotting and Little Monsters, is teaming with game developer Campo Santa for a feature film adaptation of their critically acclaimed 2016 game, Firewatch.
So this is the red-green spinoff for Ranger Gord?
The story is set in the Wyoming wilderness in 1989, a year after the Yellowstone fires. In the game, you play as Henry, a fire lookout for the season in the Shoshone National Forest, and you interact with your supervisor, Delilah, over walkie-talkie.
Wait, is this a prequel for Howie Long's Firestorm?
As you explore mysterious occurrences in the vicinity, you find your lookout tower ransacked and a shadowy figure occasionally watching from afar. Ultimately, things tie together into a mystery that happened years ago while the pair also face challenging personal choices.
And he keeps on eating and eating.
Ollie Moss, who revolutionized the recent trend of minimalist movie posters, and Sean Vanneman helmed the game, which was written by Chris Remo, Jake Rodkin, Moss, and Vanneman. It has sold over 2.5 million copies, which, of course, shows you that this will be a hit, because that game is lit.
Now in... Oh yeah, that has not been remade yet news. Will Smith and Kevin Hart are set to lead a remake of John Hughes' 1987 road trip comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which has been set up at both Paramount Pictures and the pair's two production companies, Westbrook Studios and Heartbeat Productions.
Which one gets to put their hand between two pillows?
Depends on which one really wants to be Larry Bird. Steve Martin and John Candy starred in the original as mismatched duo forced to become traveling partners in a desperate attempt to get home for their loved ones' Thanksgiving dinner after their flights are canceled, and a whole slew of holiday-related travel disasters between them comedically unfold.
And a car rental scene that was ripped directly from Many of Our Lives.
Which we would have played a stinger of, except, you know, I don't want to break the beep button. Now, excuse me, I have to go look up what this Latin word unique means.
Female staff members at Rocksteady Studios, best known for their Batman Arkham series, sent a letter to management back in 2018 complaining about sexual harassment, of which nothing ever happened, according to a new report.
Which helped bring a dark night that no one wanted.
The letter, reportedly signed by 10 of the 16 women on staff, if you math, that's more than half, at the time... cited a number of persistent issues, including transphobic slurs, derogatory and sexually explicit remarks about women, and sexual harassment that included unwanted advances, leering at parts of a woman's body, and inappropriate comments in the office.
Okay, you know, locker room talk. Boys will be boys.
This misconduct reportedly also filtered into Rocksteady's games, which included... hypersexualized versions of Batman characters like Poison Ivy and Catwoman.
What do you mean over-sexualized? Most thieves get called bitch repeatedly while doing handstands in less than skin-tight outfits, telling awful sexual puns to Batman while most of their breasts are revealed. Just look at Cary Grant in To Catch a Thief.
Rocksteady did hold a single company-wide hour-long training seminar, in which employees had to sign a statement confirming that they had participated in the training.
That'll show them.
But according to the source, nothing else appeared to be done to address the problems. It felt that it was just a way for them to cover their asses, said the source.
Which is more than some of the female characters were allowed to do in the game.
A spokesperson from Rocksteady said in a statement, "In 2018, we received a letter from some of our female employees."
Again, more than half.
"Expressing concerns they had at the time, and we immediately took firm measures to address the matters that were raised."
Couldn't have found another adjective there, Tom.
"Over the subsequent 2 years, we have carefully listened to and learned from our employees, working to ensure every person on the team feels supported. In 2020, we are more passionate than ever to continue to develop our inclusive culture, and we are determined to stand up for all of our staff."
Look, we've done something.
Rocksteady reportedly called in all hands.
Are we not doing phrasing?
Last Thursday to specifically respond to the 2018 letter for the first time after it was contacted about these issues. There, the studio reportedly pledged to take further steps. Speaking of steps, did you see Catwoman's high heel boots in the games? Look, if the clacking of the heels doesn't give her away, I'm sure the squeaking of her tight vinyl will.
Nereol, the team behind the excellent Reigns, are now working on a game based on George Orwell's Animal Farm.
A stealth game in which you save animals from the knackers?
The game is being made with the blessing of Orwell's estate and will feature narration by Abubakar Salim, a.k.a. Bayek, from Assassin's Creed Origins.
Snowball actually left the farm and became an assassin? Oh, I can't wait to make a pig jump off a tall tower into a bale of hay.
It'll be a narrative game where you can throw out exploitative farmers, found a new republic, guide its leaders, all animals are equal, you decide which animals are most equal of all.
If you can actually send a boxer off in that van, you are simply not a good person.
Now look, while I get this could be a very thought-provoking game, my big concern is that very thing right there exactly. I mean, the creatures outside look from pig to gamer, and gamer to pig, from pig to gamer again, and already it was impossible to say which was which. GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution, is non-commercial, non-derivative, recognized, 3.0 license. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Somebody, please, Goldsboro High School, you know, Facebook group, somebody find Ms. Farmer and tell her I just made a fantastic literary reference at the end of a podcast. She would smile. We did that book. I think we can do that. Won't you please? That'd be fantastic. And for everybody else, drop a note. And I'm sure you've got much better literary references you could have worked in there. Give me something. I got prizes galore. Look, maybe that's something we can do. Drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Leave us a note, podcast. You can do that. You can send a voicemail, text message, all those good things. Just use the numbers. That's what you need there.
510-GRD.
We'll get back together tomorrow. It'll happen.
Good night, suckers.
It's happening! Use the moves!
What do you expect? A message from the prophet? Words from on high? You're supposed to lead your people out of Egypt?
I don't know. Something.
You want to know what it means, huh? I'll tell you what it means. The universe is a hostile place, Chigriak.
It is?
Yeah, you think nature is some Disney movie? Nature is a killer, pal. Nature is a bitch. It's feeding time out there 24 hours a day. Every step that you take is a gamble with death. If it isn't getting hit by lightning today, it's an earthquake tomorrow, or some deer tick carrying Lyme disease. Either way, you're ending up on the wrong end of the food chain.
That's rather upsetting.
Well, it's supposed to be upsetting, you moron. Check out the Declaration of Independence. You think it promises happiness? No, no, no. It talks about the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit! We've become a nation of wimps. We think we're entitled to everything. We want to legislate ourselves into some cozy little cocoon. Well, forget it, nature boy. There are no guarantees. Life is nasty, brutish, and short. Ecce homo.